Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to everyone in the listening area.
Good morning. Good
this morning that you have joined me this morning. Welcome to all of my callers. I ask if you have a comment or would like to dialogue directly, please press 1 and I can bring you live. This is Apostle Gloria Hawkins with Tell Them Evangelistic Ministries on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I really would love some dialogue this morning on our topic, and we're going to talk about forgiveness and unforgiveness. We know that God forgives us of our sins when we seek Him. When we seek that forgiveness, He grants it to us. But let me ask you, how many people are seeking forgiveness from you and you refuse to give it? That's something for us to think about this morning. Let us open up with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we say thank you for this day. We exalt you. We magnify. We thank you for the opportunity to come together to learn of your word, to study your word. You tell us in your word to study to show thyself approved. And God, we thank you for the opportunity to be enlightened, to be encouraged, to be equipped. We honor you on this day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Again, good morning to all of the callers. I thank God for each of you that you did not consider it robbery to join me this morning. When I posted, we scheduled this broadcast, we were looking at, the question is, or thought can be, there are so many things God instructs us to do, and forgive is one of them. We must forgive. We must get our heart right. We must get our head right. Being forgiven and being forgiven is a powerful move. This will put you in the position of strength, healing, and the ability to help someone else. God forgives us of our sins, our shortcomings, our mistakes, and missteps. We must operate with the love of Christ, according to Ephesians 4 and 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's King James Version, and that's something that we need to look at. So many times we go through things in life, and we just refuse to forgive. This one hurt me, that one hurt me, and we see it as unforgivable. But how many of you know that the only unforgivable sin is coming against the Holy Spirit? We must be mindful to forgive. We see in Scripture oftentimes where their issues are going on and people are being violated, people are being hurt, and yet they don't want to forgive. They want to retaliate. They build walls around themselves to where they won't be hurt again, but they still operate in unforgiveness. The Scripture tells us, the disciples asked Christ, how many times should we forgive? And he said, 70 times 7. And that's in one day. That's not a week, a month, or in a year. We are to forgive that same person 70 times 7. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we don't want to. Sometimes we want to get into our own feelings and refuse to forgive because of the violation that has been placed towards us at the hand of another. But we can't do that. Just as we repent and seek forgiveness of our sins from God, we are to forgive those that come against us. We have to ask ourselves, there was a band going around years ago, what would Jesus do? I think we need to be mindful and ask that question. In this situation, what would Jesus do? Not what Gloria would do, not what Joe Blow would do, not what the president would do, not even what my pastor would do. But it says, what would Jesus do? And we have to look at Jesus forgives. God forgives us of our sins. He loves us in spite of. When we look at the different issues in life, we have to be mindful that we have violated the word of God. We have come against God. We've been disobedient. We've lied, cheated, stolen. We've done so many things against the word of God, and yet he forgives us. So who are we not to forgive? Are we better than Christ? Are we above Christ? No, we're not. And in order for us to do what God has called us to do, we must operate as he would, as he is operating. He forgives us every day. We can't be hard-hearted. The scripture tells us that we must be tender-hearted towards one another, that we must be kind and forgiving one another. We cannot walk around with our heads so high in the air that if it rained, we would drown because we want to hold on to unforgiveness. We know in Scripture it tells us that envy is rottenness to our bones, envy, unforgiveness, that bad attitude. How many of you know that unforgiveness can bring about sickness and disease within our own bodies, within our own circle? It can bring discord. It can bring confusion to your home if you are walking in unforgiveness. How can we say we love God and not do the things that he has called us to do? He says we must forgive. How can we expect the things of God and the promises that he has given us and told us throughout his word if we refuse to be obedient? Obedient is better than sacrifice. I've given up so much in my life. I have walked in unforgiveness. I have walked in bitterness towards those that have hurt me. But when you know better, you do better. When I came to myself, because I didn't know what was going on, I didn't have that understanding of what God said for me to do. And I'm going to share a little story with you. I was diagnosed with, in the late 90s, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis all throughout my body. My joints were swollen and fluid build up around my joints, and I walked in pain. I hurt every day. And I went to church one Sunday, and this little lady asked me, she said, who do you need to forgive? Me being new in the church, I got a little indignant. This woman doesn't know me. How dare she question me about forgiving? I'm a Christian. I'm in the church. I'm on the choir. And she looked and she asked me again, and she made me mindful of the scripture about unforgiveness and envy and bitterness will destroy the body. And we have to be mindful because the scriptures say rottenness to your bones. Well, those of you who may know that rheumatoid arthritis is a deterioration of your bone. So when I put two and two together and realized because I have been walking in unforgiveness towards people who had hurt me, I was bringing death to my own body. My body was attacking itself because of something that I was doing, something I had not done. And when I got that straight with the Lord, it was as if everything just left. I'm supposed to be in a wheelchair today. I'm not supposed to be walking around in 2-3-inch heels. I'm not supposed to be running and jumping and playing because the doctor said, purchase a wheelchair. He didn't even give me the opportunity in his diagnosis to go from a cane to a walker, then to a wheelchair. He just automatically said, you're going to be in a wheelchair. So as I started to search out the scriptures and get a better understanding of how much unforgiveness can destroy our bodies, our health, I made up in my mind I was not going to allow anybody to cause me to kill myself. And that's what we do when we walk in unforgiveness. We are actually committing slow suicide. We're actually destroying our own witness, our own walk. We're destroying, we're bringing things upon us and our families because we refuse to forgive someone that violated us. And as we've heard so many times, forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for yourself. And I found that out, but it was a lesson learned. So what I find now is that when any time that I am in a place, I get into my feelings or I'm angry about something with someone, it does not matter whether it's my husband, my children, or someone in the body, even a bill collector, when I operate with some form of unforgiveness and pride or what have you, I have one finger. The joint in that finger will begin to ache. Nowhere else in my body will hurt. Now, we go through life, and we, of course, have aches and pains because of life and age. But I come to realize that anytime I walk in unforgiveness or I'm in my feelings about something or a situation that may have come up, that one finger will let me know, hey, check yourself, check your spirit, check your walk. Something is out of alignment. You're operating in disobedience. And if I ignore it, maybe one or two other finger joints will start to hurt. And I'm like, oh, no, we got to get this right. And I go into repentance and seeking God for forgiveness that I am able to forgive to get that off of me. And those are things that we have to do. We must check ourselves. We must look at the man in the mirror. We cannot go around preaching and teaching and witnessing to other people about the love of God if we haven't checked ourselves. How can we tell somebody else to do those things that we ourselves are not willing to do? The more we clean ourselves up, the more we allow God to clean us up and the blood of Jesus to wash us clean, the better we will be. We will be more of an asset to Christ than a liability. And I thank God that he has given me that understanding of how my body reacts to situations. We know that our bodies will react to stress. Our bodies will react to sickness and disease. And I thank God for the revelation and understanding to put me in tune to what's going on around me. And he will do that. He will let us know what's going on and why, and we have to be mindful to listen. We're so busy sometimes asking and talking and what have you, but we have to listen to our bodies when it tells us, hey, you need to slow down. And that's the Holy Spirit letting us know, hey, you're out of alignment. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. And as we go forth in this today, I hope and pray that some understanding will come, some clarity of some things in your life will come. We looked at Ephesians 4 and 2, but there's another one that I want us to take a look at, and it's a story, and when we look at it, let's look at it in the position of the way God would look at us. and what we would do. And we have to be mindful that offenses are going to come, but we can choose to be offended. We can choose to forgive. God gave us a free will to be able to do just that. We don't have to be offended. We can stop it at the door and say, no, I refuse to take this on. I refuse to allow this in my spirit, in my surroundings. We can refuse to even have anything to do with offense and always being on the offense, always being on the defense. We have to be submissive to what God has called us to do in the earth, and forgiving is one of them. So I thank God for that opportunity. It's the story of the servant who had a debt to his Lord, and he pleaded with his master because he did not have the money to pay his debt. And he cried unto the Lord to forgive him of his debt. And seeing and understanding that this man, he believed in his heart that he was true and he was seeking forgiveness from him because he didn't have any money to pay his debt, he allowed him to go free from his debt. He allowed him not to be placed in prison. He allowed him to go free. He forgave him of the debt. And then the servant went on and found someone that owed him money. And he requested payment. He requested payment for his money. I want my money back. You owe me this. I want it. And when the fellow servant could not pay him, he had him put in jail. How many times have we done something against someone else? Have we violated someone? And we went to them, whether it be a debt collector or whether it be a friend, a family member, we know we owe them, but we just don't have it to give it to them. We don't have it to pay to them, and we ask them to forgive us of that debt. Release me of what I owe to you. Release me of the debt. Forgive my debt. And they do it. Whether you violated them, whether you took something from them, whether you put your mouth on them, whether you lied, cheated, or stole, you went to them and said, have mercy on me, forgive me, and they forgive you of the debt. But then you go and you meet someone who was in that same situation with you. They owed you. They violated you. They hurt you. They broke your heart. They walked away from you. They cheated you. They mistreated you. And they come and ask you to forgive them. And you refuse to operate in the same mercy and love that was shown to you, you refuse to give to them. How is that right? How is that godly? How is that the Christian way? How is that being like Christ? How is that doing what Christ did? Once again, what would Jesus do? And as I said, if you would like to come on the line live, please press 1. I'd be more than happy to bring you on that we can have a true discussion about forgiveness. I do know, I welcome the opportunity to have a conversation with anyone who is interested in coming on the line. And as we move forward, we must look at time and time again whether it's premeditated, whether it's an error, we violate God's word on a daily basis, whether it's an intentional move, something that we're harboring in our heart, or something that we're not thinking. You know, sometimes they think before you speak, and that is a true statement, because if we were to truly think before we spoke, a lot of things would not come out of our mouths, and there might be even some things that we may not have to repent and ask for forgiveness for. But we have to be mindful of these things. What we do in the body, what we do on a daily basis affects so many more people. It affects the people around us. It's not just about us. Because it's like the pebble being thrown in the lake. There is a ripple effect. You operate in unforgiveness. You operate in bitterness and anger. That will affect more than just you. That will actually affect your whole household. And if you're the head of your house, if you're, whether you're married or whether you're single, if you're the head of your house, everything in your house is contingent on what the head does, the way the head operates and walks. So if the head is unforgiving, it puts the whole body out of alignment. It brings on more. It brings on the worst things. It brings confusion. And if you're not willing to forgive, you're operating in so many other spirits. You're operating in pride, unforgiveness. You're operating in pride. You're operating in things that will just cause people not to be around you. You're operating with the spirit of lying. You're exaggerating issues. You know, it may not have been what you wanted to blow out of proportion or what have you. Someone else may look at you and like, that's not a big deal. Why are you getting so worked up about that? Well, they did this to me. They said this to me. So you're going to base your whole salvation and your walk with the Lord based on someone else, instead of basing it on the love of Christ and the mercy and grace that he showed you. Why are you willing to allow other people to control you and manipulate you and run your life? Those are things that we must ask ourselves. Am I willing to turn over my life to someone else's control? Because that's what we do when we operate in unforgiveness. Now, with the story of the servant, a fellow servant was with him and went back and told the master what he had done. That angered the master. And what he ended up doing, he said, you could not show the same mercy to your fellow servant as I showed you. Well, now you're going to have to pay your debt and cast him into prison. Operating in unforgiveness puts you in a prison. It puts you in a place of bondage. It puts you in a place of not being able to move. You're not free. When you're operating in unforgiveness, you have shackles on your feet. You have handcuffs on your wrists. You're in such bondage, it's as if you're walking with a straitjacket. You can't move. You're tied. You're concealed. You're confined. Operating in unforgiveness will put you in a place of bondage. There are so many other things that will do that as well. But unforgiveness, it puts you in a place of judging someone else. It puts you in a place on trying to judge, to be the lawyer, the judge, and the executioner for someone else because someone hurt you, because someone violated you, because someone came against you. We cannot do that. We cannot allow these strongholds, these things to come up against us, that it keeps us in bondage, that it keeps us out of the will of God. And that's what unforgiveness will do. It will move you out of the will of God. Some of us put in so much time to learn of God's word, to learn of God's ways, and to know and understand his plan and purpose for our lives. And we're going to sacrifice that. We're going to hinder that because we refuse to forgive. You know, it is a powerful thing to forgive. We see things in the news constantly about a family being violated, whether it's through a family member being killed because of a drunk driver or a gunshot or raped or just beaten to death. The most powerful thing the victim's family can do is say, "I forgive." And we see that so many times where they will move themselves to a place of forgiveness to the person that hurt them, the person that caused their pain. They forgive. It's not to say that they forget, but they forgive. And healing can start when you forgive. I know that there's so many people in the body who are living day in and day out with a past hurt, with a past violation. I know that there are. But we have to be able to get to a place of forgiveness for our own healing. If we're operating in forgiveness and we have a heart of forgiveness, let us help someone else get to that point. Let us not leave our family that we call our family in the body. Let us not leave them out to the wolves to be eaten up by this unforgiveness that they're harboring in their heart. Let us be tenderhearted to our fellow man, our fellow woman. Let us help them to get to that place where they can forgive others and forgive themselves. So many people talk about, you know, we've been through so much and they've made so many mistakes in their lives and they feel like they just messed up all the way. We can help them with forgiving themselves. We can help them understand the forgiveness that Christ is showing them. We can help them understand that forgiving another person, it is so much freedom to release that person. There's so much joy, and when you realize that you have done that and you're able to do it, it is such a blessing. Strength will come. Strength will come from that. And we have to move forward. We give God the glory, the honor, and the praise for it. Because then you're moving closer to your destiny. You're moving closer to your purpose. We have to stop just doing surface deliverance. We have to stop looking at the surface and dig deeper. There may be some things that have happened in our past, in our childhood, that we may not even think affect us, but it causes some of the things that we do every day. It can dictate our day to us. It can dictate the way we talk. It will dictate how we deal with other people in our lives because we were violated as children, because someone did something to us, and we're looking at, like, what is going on? I can't talk about anybody else but myself and what God has done for me in dealing with forgiving and operating with forgiveness. I realized a few years ago after being in the church for a number of years, that I still harbored some unforgiveness to some adults that were in my life at a time when I was being violated. I never realized that I harbored unforgiveness towards them. And my unforgiveness was, where were you? Why weren't you there to save me? Why weren't you there to protect me? I did not realize I was holding on to some unforgiveness towards them. I didn't realize that there was still some anger and some bitterness, and I had to deal with it. Was it hard to admit that I had been walking in unforgiveness a number of years? Yes. But if we don't operate with forgiveness towards our fellow man, our fellow sister, or our brother, a family member, we're being tormented. We're being wrapped up in areas of our life that we may need a release. It may be part of the reason why you're not on the path that God has placed for you. We can learn from these and move on, but we have to deal with these issues. We cannot continue to do these things and think that we're going to get away with it, because we're going to be held accountable. Do you want to get before the throne, before God, and he asks you, I forgave you. Why didn't you forgive? I forgave you for the adultery that you committed against me. This is God talking to us now. You committed adultery against me and our relationship when you went a whoring around. When you chose other gods, you committed adultery against me. When you lied, cheated, stole, when you mistreated my children, you committed that against me. I forgave you, but you couldn't forgive? That parent that walked away, that parent that wasn't there, that friend that walked away, that person that violated you, that person that broke your heart, that person that took advantage of you. We have to be mindful. The same things that so many of people are walking in unforgiveness about are some of the same things that we have done against God. We have violated the relationship with God, and yet he forgives us. Well, I can't do it. They broke my heart. You just don't know what they did to me. What did you do to God? What did you do to him? How did you violate his word? Does Jesus have to come back and go to the cross again? I think not. We got to get it together. We got to stop playing with this thing. We got to stop acting like we got it all together. Again, if you would like to come in on the call, press 1 and I will bring you on. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for joining the call. Who do we have on the line?
Good morning. This is Anita Johnson.
Hi. How are you this morning, Sister Anita?
I'm doing good. Doing good. And I just wanted to add to it that I went through a lot of that of unforgiveness. And and one thing I realized is sometimes when people are on their job and they're fired, and people suffer with unforgiveness really bad then, because a lot of times they don't understand why things happen, but sometimes things happen because God is trying to bring something to you and out from you, and to reveal yourself to you. And I said, but one thing that I learned is that unforgiveness. It hurts the body of Christ. You know, sometimes people
Amen.
Think Christians, you know, if they hide in it, because this is how I felt. You know, I was fooling myself. I was fooling myself. And I didn't realize, you know, being a baby in Christ, I was like, I was saying, yes, I forgave the person. Yes, I forgave the people. But God knew my heart. And so God would test you to see, have you really forgiven that person or forgiven those people? But I said, but I realized it hurts the body of Christ. That, you know, when one part of the body is hurting, it affects the whole body. And that's why people
Amen.
Can't move
yes.
forward. And so I walked through this, God walked me through this. And I didn't realize that I had so much bitterness, so much anger, and things just went all the way back 30 years ago. But he was in
My
order
Lord.
For, like you said, in order for him to use me, he had to bring all of that out. And if
yes.
people don't believe it, pride was set in. Pride, you know, it was everything was I, and I had to repent, and I asked the Lord to forgive me because it hurt me more because I sinned against God, and that's what I
Amen.
Think. You know, people have to realize. And I said, and it was funny because. This is what I shared yesterday, last night before I went to bed, on walking in unforgiveness. And then I clicked on my Facebook page, and I seen this what you was teaching on this morning. And I said, okay, Lord, let me watch. So God bless you, and I thank you for the time.
Amen. Thank you so much for calling in. God bless you, my sister.
Thank you.
All right. As you heard, you know, so many people walk in unforgiveness, and it does affect the whole body. And that's our time for today. I thank each and every one of you for joining. Join us again here next Saturday morning for Tell Them Ministries on the radio. Be mindful that as we prepare to go forth, that we must operate in that forgiveness. And God will stir up some things, allow some things to be stirred up for us to see who we truly are. I'd like to ask that you would join my sister and brother, Apostles Benny and Valerie Burrell, tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. for in the Empowerment Place. And join in for the discussion. Also, I'm going to make a couple of announcements. On next Saturday, February the 23rd, if you are in the Mechanicsville, Maryland area and you want to hear a powerful word from three speakers, from three women of God, we are ready to roar. Our Apostle Burrell, we're doing a Hear Me Roar, Mechanicsville, Maryland, on next Saturday, Mechanicsville, Maryland. Come on out. Hear the ladies roar. Also on March the 2nd, Unmasking the Pain will be at the Dominion Worship Center in Crewe, Virginia. You will have myself, Apostle Gloria Hawkins, and Apostle Valerie Burrell coming in to help you unmask your pain. This is a God-mandated assignment, and it must go forth. So if you're in the Crewe, Virginia area, Farmville, Victoria, Cambridge, Berkville, Blackstone, anywhere, Nottoway, Prince Edward, or Lunenburg, come on, meet us at the Dominion Worship Center in Crewe, Virginia. Remember that God loves you. I love you. And this is for the empowerment for you to be equipped and encouraged in the Lord. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you bless each and every person that called in, that they will go forth and realize that forgiveness is necessary. I thank you that you bless and that you keep them, give them traveling mercy as they go throughout their day. In Jesus' name, go out and forgive one. Love someone with the love of the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. And remember, we love you with the love of the Lord. Amen.